What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
He's Mr. Andrew Siciliano. Hello, Andrew.
Hello.
Gentlemen, happy Friday to you and yours.
Thank you very much, and same to you. I saw you up there on the TikTok walking along the beach looking really cool.
Yeah, just, you know, sometimes. So I go on my run every day, and then you got to, you know, after, you, that's where I do my deep thinking.
Nice. Mm. Yeah.
My post is deep thinking. So then, you're walking it out afterwards, and then you're. Sometimes I talk into my phone and I look like a lunatic walking on the sidewalk by myself, or other people walk by and go, why is that guy talking to his phone?
I think that's really cool. It's the way to do it.
But I'm glad that you like it.
Hey, Shadur Sanders and Andrew Siciliano in a podcast. Tell me more.
Yeah, we taped it last week. Best podcast available that we do with Jason Gibbs with Gibbe every week here in the off season. So we did one with Dylan Gabriel. Did one with Dylan Sampson, did one with Shador Sanders, taped them last weekend, and this one just dropped. It was recorded after the first day of practice, so Saturday morning before the second day of practice. And there's a little insight. We haven't posted the clip yet, but it's in there if you want to watch the full pod. A little insight on the number 12, which I found interesting.
All right, good.
Are you going to give us any?
That's why you listen to the podcast.
As we were standing there, we were talking about the jersey, because he had just gotten off the podium, and remember someone asked on the podium last Saturday, hey, you going to buy the number 2 from DeAndre Carter? And he made the crack about, like, you know, fifth round pick, I don't have a lot of money right now. Huh. It's not like, you know, first round paycheck where I might be going to buy a jersey.
Right.
And we were talking. I still talk about the number 12. I go, it's dad's number backwards. Deion wore 21.
Yeah, Jeff said that too.
And he looks at me, he's like, yeah, you get it. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay. So maybe that's an admission.
Yeah.
He had not been asked about that on the podium, or I hadn't heard him asked about that anywhere else. It was kind of like the smile, mm-hmm, you get it, admission that that was at least one of the rationale.
I would have
picking number 12.
Yeah. I would have said Carlton Fisk to him at that point too, and I'm sure he would have been like, "What?"
Right, because he's going to remember the Red Sox catcher from the 70s.
That's right.
15 years before he was born.
Switching from what 27 to 17 or
72
to 72.
Yeah. Right, actually 25 years before he was born.
Of course,
yes. Yeah, go for that one. Try that.
I'm just trying to help you out, Andrew. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Family show here. Come on, please.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Okay. I think this is going to be fun. I think it's going to be fascinating. I'm not sure how it's going to turn out. The old expression, you know, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't really have one. What if you have four quarterbacks?
It's May 15th. What is it? 16th, right?
16th. Yeah, good.
Yeah, no, everything you said is right. It's early. Like that, and that was kind of the point I made. I didn't think that, you know, that video was going to get picked up by other people. This is the point I was making. And it was a point I think Kevin Stefanski made on the podium as well. And that is, guys, like, pump the brakes. I mean, this is, it's a rookie mini camp, but it's an orientation, really, if anything. It's, can you digest the playbook? And Shador in the interview was talking about, like, what he talked about on the podium. Like, he was in the hotel room cramming and watching the Cavs game and trying to learn the playbook. It's an orientation. It's like putting the whole draft process behind you, which is exhausting. And we talked about that as well, right? You're going all over the country. You're doing the pro days. I mean, you're doing 50 million interviews. You're not necessarily like focusing on football, no matter how much you try to work out. And it's getting to know your teammates. It's like doing HR paperwork and like meeting everyone in the cafeteria and getting fitted for a helmet and a jersey. And then also playing football, like 7-on-7, some 11-on-11. I mean, it's no contact. The idea that any grand conclusions can be drawn from 3 days of rookie mini camp. And I realized that the assembled media there, and I was there Friday and Saturday, Sunday was not open to the media. People had different opinions. Maybe one day one looked better and the other day the other looked better. My point is, it's May. Like, there are no grand conclusions to be taken from rookie minicamp. They both had some very good moments, and at times they both look like rookies. But I think the most important thing was that they both acquitted themselves fantastically in the building and on the podium, connecting with fans and the media. They said all the right things. They presented themselves well. And I think, check, check, check. You know, call me in September.
All right, so this said, and you did a great job of laying out your argument. I've been asking everyone this. Give me the Andrew Siciliano quarterback depth chart.
Well, I mean, if there were a game tomorrow, it would be Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco.
No, you got to pick one.
These guys, I would say, it's a great question. I might lean Kenny Pickett right now. I might. Look, if Shador Sanders hadn't fallen to the fifth round, your quarterback room would be Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, and Dylan Gabriel. And you would probably say it's a competition between Pickett and Flacco. Pickett's the younger one. And Dylan Gabriel is going to learn and be the rookie and be the understudy and learn from two veterans. And if one was demonstrably better than the other, then sure. But it's Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco. Here you have two rookies, and you add another one to the mix, and it's going to be fascinating. But I think the good thing is you have two joint practices with the Panthers and the Eagles. You get a lot of work done in joint practices. You get 180 players combined between the two teams. You got a lot going on. And you have three meaningful preseason games. Like, gone are the days. This summer will be different. Gone are the days of this preseason game means nothing. These preseason games truly do mean something, and that's going to be fun.
I think you're right about that. Let me go from quarterback to running back, and it's one of my favorite things because I love the fact that they drafted two running backs. I don't love the fact that Nick Chubb is not on this team right now.
Agree.
But I understand it, Andrew. How do you see this thing playing out? And is Jerome Ford... is Jerome Ford going into camp as 1 or 1A, or is Jerome Ford looking at two rookies and thinking, especially after, you know, adjusting his contract?
That's a very good question. I think it's backfield by committee, truly. I think Jerome Ford, as the veteran in the room, if you had to say right now who's on the field on third down, is Jerome Ford. You got to trust him in pass pro more so than a rookie. That's a thing for any NFL head coach or OC or offensive line coach, is can I trust a rookie running back in pass protection on third down? So Jerome Ford, I think, has the leg up there. He did enough. Ford did, I think, to earn carries this year. Absolutely. I mean, he had explosives last year. He if you look at his numbers, they're better than I think people, better than the eye test at times. It's a three-headed monster. And as for Nick Chubb, I want him back as well. I think... obviously, Andrew said, AB said, it's increasingly unlikely. Yeah. It is tough out there for a veteran running back. I don't know what Nick wants to get paid, and I don't know if he has an offer in front of him somewhere else that he has not yet said yes to. He is a veteran running back that will undoubtedly find a job come playoff time. Come training camp time, beg your pardon. The question is it with the Browns? I think with the Browns, maybe, and this is just my gut, he fills that Kareem Hunt, in case of an injury, you're the first guy we're calling role. But you can't stop them from getting another job, because right now the Browns don't have one for him necessarily that they can agree on.
I get that. I'm excited about Judkins. I'm excited about Sampson. The minute they drafted those two guys, I thought, boy, Nick coming back here as a third guy doesn't sound right. And would 1A and one of those rookies come? It's a tough mix. And when Andrew Berry said what he said, Andrew, I thought, well, that's exactly what I've been thinking about this. And it's interesting to hear him say that. So many great running backs do not spend their entire career with one team and finish like with a year or two or three with another team. That might be what happens with Nick Chubb. And if so, best of luck to him if he wants to keep playing. But, man, I wish you were here.
I wish you were here as well. And I thought what AB said as well, you try to make unemotional football decisions, yet do it as empathetically as possible with the human being that you love, who has been a cornerstone of this community, most importantly, and of this franchise since he was drafted in 2018. It's going to be hard to see the Cleveland Browns without Nick Chubb. But I think that's what we have to come to accept is likely going to happen. I'll never say never, and AB said I'll never say never. There's absolutely a scenario, because this is a tough sport and injuries happen. Someone is going to sign Nick Chubb, and I hope it is the Browns. Now, you hope it's not because of an injury, but, you know, we'll see what happens. If he finds another job out there, I will be rooting for him.
Yep.
He will be my favorite non-Brown, let's put it that way, in the NFL. I play fantasy football, but I'm not someone who screams and yells and jumps up and down. Right? When my fantasy team does something, I have no control over. Like, what did I do? I put the obvious guy in the lineup, and if he scores a touchdown, yay. Like, he has no emotional impact on me. But Nick Chubb, that would be different. I'm going to cheer for Nick Chubb wherever he is.
Andrew, the schedule came out this week. Without getting into all the trite questions about the schedule, just what did you think? What were your overall thoughts? And obviously 13 1 o'clock games.
I think they deserved a primetime game. I can make the argument that any AFC North game that you put in primetime, you're fine. You're scheduling a safe game and a good, entertaining, storyline-filled matchup. There is a reason that when Hard Knocks picked a division to do a series on, the first one they picked was the AFC North. I think the Browns deserve to be in primetime. They were also picking second overall, so I get it. They do have a standalone game, which is London, obviously. The Titans do not. The Titans have no game outside of a 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock window, so they have every right to be more upset than the Browns are, but I think the Browns are a brand that always draw. What I don't like is the fact, and I know it's New York, I get it, it's New York, but the Giants have three primetime games. They finished with the same record as the Browns and the Titans, and they have three. The Giants since 2020 are 2-15 in primetime, so they're not good TV historically the last 5 years. So I would argue the Browns should get ahead of them in that pecking order. But you have, if you look at the December schedule, you have an opportunity, if you can navigate the schedule and be in contention, or at least be good TV down the stretch, look at Buffalo and Pittsburgh and all those games in December. Don't tell me that one of those isn't flex worthy, but you got to make it flex worthy.
Got about 30 seconds. Ideal situation. Do you think the Browns would like to see Kenny Pickett come in and look really good in his fourth NFL season and be the guy? A 40-year-old Joe Flacco look like he did for five games, or one of these rookies surprise like crazy and just flat out go win that starting job?
I think there's no wrong answer to any of those. I think in a perfect scenario in December, the Browns are playing meaningful football with at least an idea of who their long-term answer could be.
Okay. Great to have you with us, buddy.
Love you guys.
Podcast, you. Shadur Sanders, out right now. Where can people find it? Anywhere they get their podcast?
All the Cleveland Browns platforms. Browns YouTube, Browns Social, anywhere. Go find it.
Done. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
See you guys.
Andrew Siciliano on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Andrew has a new podcast out, available on all of the Browns formats, Talking with Shedeur Sanders. Ideally, he thought Kenny Pickett, Andy, but he also said, because I threw out four scenarios, this guy's the starter, you know, blah, blah, blah. He said Browns would go with any of them. You know what? So would I. And the reason why? Somebody go win that job. Seriously, isn't it that easy? Somebody show you are better than everybody else and should be the starting quarterback of the team. I think that's clear.
I agree. Somebody needs to jump off the page and go. Now, the question is are they going to guide the competition so that someone is number one? You know what I'm saying? That's not that hard to do.
Is there a number one going in? Probably.
And that is who?
I would think it's Pickett. Just because of the age, the investment, and I say investment maybe only in order of investment. He's the first guy of these four that they brought in. I mean, they could have signed Joe a long time ago, and they didn't. They traded for Pickett first and then brought in Joe. Who knows if they get into camp, if somebody's better, it doesn't make any difference.
All I know is that if I walked into a room, and I agree with you that I think that Pickett is probably the starting quarterback right now, if you looked at the depth chart, if they had play game tomorrow, but if I knew I had one game to play and it was tomorrow and I walked into the room, it'd be hard not to pick Joe Flacco. It'd be really hard not to. If you had to walk into a room and pick one out of the four to go start a game tomorrow, I'm not saying he's going to finish the game, but to start, it's got to be Flacco. I don't know how it couldn't be.
I do.
I don't.
He hasn't had a ton of success since leaving Baltimore. His best success was here.
But he's had success. That's my point, that I'm putting a quarterback out there that's
some, but he's had more here. Disappointment as well.
Yeah, then. Part of it, though, is the way he walked out of the room last time he was here. Because if you just viewed him on that and not on last season, he had success. He definitely had success while he was here. So I think it's hard not to walk in that room and not go, Flacco, okay, let's go. But that's not the way it's going to play out. And again, it's May, and a lot of different things can happen. And, you know, they're going to set up a obstacle course for four quarterbacks to try to be the starting quarterback week one. And who knows? All four or five may not be here a year from now. I would venture to say
that's true.
I would venture to say that at least one of the rookies will be here a year from now. But, I mean, and so that's where you're at. And you have a backup plan, a parachute, an extra parachute when you know you have two first-round picks next year. But then you know you're going into next year saying, okay, if we're going to draft a quarterback top five, then guess what? He's going to be the starter and we're going to take our lumps. There's no guarantee. Obviously the failure rate for a young quarterback early on is much greater than the success that we saw in Washington last year.
I would think you're accurate with that. I found it interesting yesterday, and we'll get to this in just a second, but it's a letter written by the Browns. Jeff's with us in Cleveland. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, my buddy works at the facility, and he knows the guy that's
Buddies with somebody?
So your buddy knows a guy who knows somebody. I like that.
Right. And, I mean, he's told me that Haslam's playing, like, 5D chess. It's gonna be Watson. Because...
This year?
Once he's ready. You know, you see him posting those hype videos, and he's telling us that he's accelerating. He had that accelerated surgery. And so he's going to be ready to go. Maybe not game one, but he's going to be ready to go. Haslam's paying him $200 million. So
why would Jimmy? Here's the problem I have with that. Why would Jimmy come out and say we swing and a miss? If he didn't believe that,
to motivate Watson because he's been a bust so far. So he's getting in his head again, 5D chess, and he's motivating Watson. Right after he did that, Watson posted the video right after saying something to the effect of, you know, you're testing me or that you doubt me. So he got in his head, and you're going to see it's going to be Watson. So you heard it here.
All right, Jeff, let me write that down.
Week 15 or 16, maybe. By week 15 or 16, if he's healthy, I would believe it. I have not ruled him out. I agree with that. There are parts of that I agree with. They're paying him a lot of money, and the second he's healthy, they're going to have to consider: do we get any return on investment here? That's what they're thinking. I would be, if I owned a team, I'd want return on investment.
I wouldn't. You know what I would want? At this point, you're 60% of the way through the contract. The only way I put him back on the field is if I think he can be better than whoever's playing quarterback for my team. So I don't care that I've already spent the money. You know, if Shedeur Sanders is playing quarterback and playing it well, then I have my quarterback in the future. I don't need to see Watson anymore. If it's Dillon Gabriel, if it's Kenny Pickett, fine. If nobody's lighting it up, playing really well, and Watson's back from a really rough injury, that's fine. Put him out on the field. Seriously, it is fine. Go ahead and play him. I would understand it. But I think if somebody's playing really well, that's a big if, then I don't think he sees the field here ever again. If somebody's not playing really well and they need better quarterback play, by all means. I mean, you signed the guy because you thought he'd be better than everybody. He hasn't been yet.
No.
If he's more motivated, then I get it. Yes?
Yeah, I see a path for him to be playing at the end of the season this year. If they're not winning... Yeah. And you're probably heading towards drafting a quarterback next year again. I just, you know, you brought up a point just now that I'm interested in. Like, what defines success for one of these rookie quarterbacks? So much success that they don't feel like they need to draft a quarterback in the first round next year.
He's playing well and the team is winning some games.
That gives you enough.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said draft a quarterback next year.
Next year, yeah.
He's playing extremely well and the team is winning a lot of games.
Okay. How many is a lot? That's my question.
After how many? If you're 8-2, then you might be, man, we found a guy.
Yeah, I agree with that. 8-2, I'll buy that.
Yeah, but how likely is that?
Not when I look at the schedule.
If you haven't seen this, folks, the Haslam Sports Group sent a note, apparently, a letter, or whatever you want to call it, message to Cuyahoga County Commissioner Chris Ronayne, County Executive, I guess is the way to the proper title that they use. And this was a, hi, we're dumping this on you because you're not even thinking about trying to make this happen. I'm not going to take sides on this. I will say I thought, wow, what a big boy move by the Browns to send this out and to make sure it ended up in the media. And I do think the Browns used a word, and it was from David Jenkins, who runs a business ops and everything for the Browns.
Yep, Haslam Sports Group.
Yeah, thank you, Haslam Sports Group. And I don't disagree with this. The Browns in this letter, Haslam Sports Group, said, to Chris Ronayne that his opposition is inexplicable and promising to build the stadium with or without the county support, that the Haslam Sports Group is planning to do that, which I think everybody would say fine to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they want to find the funding somewhere else. I forever, for the life of me, Andy, do not understand why the county is so opposed to building a new, great, big, wonderful-looking project in the county. I do not get that.
Not arguing with you.
Unless
there's political pressure behind the scenes that we're not seeing.
Which is possible. Yeah,
If I was a part of the Downtown Association, I would be all over Chris saying, hey, man, this has got to stay downtown. You know, those 15 dates a year that we use the other stadium, 10 to 15 dates a year that we use that stadium for, you know, a couple of concerts and truck pull or something, that we want that business to stay downtown. That's you should be if you're a business owner downtown. You should be.
Except for one thing.
This is why I have said since day one, the county should just keep their mouth shut on this whole thing. And whatever happens, happens. Because in essence, you're getting jobs in the county either way, whether they've got to rebuild what's going on downtown or they've got to start building out by Berea. And I was out there last night, and I mean, the roads are already a mess out by the airport. So, I mean, there is work to be done in the county. And I don't know if Chris is feeling pressure from his constituents downtown compared to, you know, a much smaller voice in a suburb that leans on the city of Cleveland by a border. I don't know. I can kind of understand if Chris is feeling pressure from, from downtown or even maybe from his supporters.
I thought the Haslam Sports Group made a great point. And they listed bullet points in this note to Chris Ronayne, the county exec. And I thought, well, that makes perfect sense, and that hasn't really been hammered home yet. And the basic gist of it, I won't read it, but the basic gist was this. Okay, downtown Cleveland might lose 10 to, let's be on the outside, Andy, say 15 events.
Right.
So you'll lose some hotels, right, in theory.
For those events?
Not
necessarily.
Some.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just say that. However, the Haslam Sports Group pointed out, okay, you're losing, let's just work with 12. You're losing 12 football games downtown, 12 dates. You don't think 50 dates at a new facility is going to put people in those hotels more than 12 dates would? Where are they going to stay? They're not all going to stay in Brook Park or Strongsville or out by the airport.
I told
you. They're going to stay downtown.
I mean, and
that's 30 more dates where people are going to be staying downtown.
Well, I mean, look.
And the new building along with everything else, I just thought, wow, and the other factor with this.
Yeah.
We keep hearing about, you know, the stadium is vital to lakefront development.
Right.
The stadium has been there since the 1930s. Where's the lakefront development around it?
Never. No, it's stuck in red tape.
Done.
We haven't seen anything.
Done.
The most progress we've seen down there is that they got rid of the warehouses that were down there by the parking lot. Like and to see a cruise ship come down there every once in a while was like, oh, progress. Right? One. I don't know. I look at the whole thing. I'm trying to weigh the whole thing out. I think the county should be Switzerland. They should just keep their mouth shut on this. It's not too hard to look and say, who would be the biggest? Who wouldn't want the dome in town? I'm not going to lie. Who probably would get hurt the worst out of all of those things? And maybe this is dates for downtown, and maybe I'm going against my own argument. The arena. Like, if the arena loses concerts to the new dome, I can understand that. So if I'm Dan Gilbert, I'm probably way behind not building a dome downtown or not building a dome anywhere. Because once you put a roof on that thing, now I've got competition for concerts that I'm hosting at my arena.
But your arena hosts some 275 to 300 events a year.
I'm not disagreeing, it's but really busy. Now you're taking concerts out of it.
Yeah, it's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.